remind you before I forget, there is, we might have mentioned earlier, but we have our auction coming up here. Just in a couple of weeks. I'd love to see you there. There's some good information going to be put out there for the ministries. Again, so if you want to come to the auction, we'd love for you to be there. Even if you don't participate in some sense, just be there. It would be nice if you would and see how things are going. But if you do, just go to New Life Ministries. You'll find that on the website there and how to register for our auction. So hopefully we see you there. And but today we are going to be in the book of Galatians today. Today it just seems like we just see so much. You can get online, you can get on the internet, and you can find about anything you want. You can find all kinds of beliefs. You can find about all kinds of things. And we have to be careful that we just don't read one line and think that's the truth. And we have to remember also that even when we read a line about some preacher or some church or whatever, we need to do research, because there's a lot of false information out there and a lot of just trying to tear the church down, all kinds of information that's out there trying to do that. And so it's about, so we have to be careful what we're looking at online as well, and being cautious of what we are hearing out there, because there's so much out there that is telling us all kinds of information. We're just taking it all in. And so I want to share with you here today that at this moment here, we'll be in chapter 1, as Paul is coming to writing to this letter here, he's really putting in some major pieces, and we're going to read some of those today. And I hope it just strengthens you and it challenges you in a way that draws you closer to the Lord. And as we go there, I want to pray and just ask God's presence as well. Father, Lord, we just ask for your presence, as we know that you are here. We ask for your Spirit to speak what needs to be spoken to each of us individually in our own hearts and our own spirits. Because if we have your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can hear from you. And each person that has you, each person that has that salvation, has your Spirit inside of them. And may we be attentive to that. May we be attentive to this message this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we find, we're going to look in verse 6. Paul begins and he says this: "I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel." So here it is. What is the gospel? What really is the gospel? And so we're going to share a little bit about what that is. And so we know that the Bible says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's Romans 3:23. We have all sinned. We are all sinners. But John 3:16 tells us that "for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And we know that it says, "For he that has the Son has life, but he that does not have the Son of God does not have life." All these are pointing us toward Jesus. And what we see here, that we all know that we are all sinners. We are all condemned before God, not because God is bad, but because we've sinned. We've sinned. This is God's world. This is God's creation. He created it for his purposes and his pleasure. And we rebelled against God's ways, and we become what we know as sinners. We've all sinned. Even the nicest, neatest, greatest grandma and grandpa in the world, we have all sinned. We have to be in agreement to that. That is part of the gospel. And however, God loves people. And that's where we get John 3:16, that he loves people. And that because he knows that people are condemned, be separated from him at death, that we see that God sent his Son, Jesus, to save the world. And so we see that there was a sacrificial, that when Jesus came, a sacrificial life that he gave, that so that he was crucified and he died. And as he was crucified and he died, they put him in a tomb. But here it is, death cannot hold him because he was sinless. And so he rose from the dead. And so we see that, and we see that God's grace really is the gift that he gave to us, salvation, and it comes in a box, in a sense of a way. If we put it in a box, it would be simply this: it's all Jesus. Okay? And so we need to remember that this whole thing is, when we ask Christ into our life, and we want to give our life back to Christ, because we were living it against Christ, against God, we ask Christ to forgive us of our sins and allow him to be in our life, and we're in his life, and we give the life that we have, we gave it back to God, and God becomes, and he's in charge. And we get this freedom now. We get this freedom that comes from salvation. And we get this freedom that we can live, and we need to be careful that we don't take advantage of that freedom in the wrong ways, but we need to do it as it's uplifting to the Lord. So what happened is, in Galatia, here's what we have. We have an issue here. And Paul is wanting to address this issue, and this issue is some Jews came in and said, listen, here it is. Yeah, that's all great. Jesus is all great, but you guys that aren't circumcised, you need to get circumcised. Also, there's a few other things that we need to put in there too. And so they begin to put things in, and Paul says, whoa, we need to stop right now. And so they were reverting back to the law. So there were some things there that was happening with the circumcision, going back to the law, and they were doing that. Said, listen, if you want that salvation, you got to win God's heart, and you got to do these things. You got to do X, Y, and Z. You men have to be circumcised. You have to do all these things so you can really have the eternal life, and begin to throw that all in there. And Paul says, no, they were wanting to revert back to the law. Huh. We have some of that going on today. It may not be the circumcision thing, but it may be some other things. Let me just share some things that I'm seeing, or you may have seen out there as well. But I think we need to remember that we were called by God's grace. Ephesians is beautiful. The first couple of chapters are just beautiful, that you couldn't earn it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It's all the gift of salvation, all the gift of God's grace. Which means God offers it. You didn't deserve it, but he offers it. But yet we want to tag things onto it. And so he says this, I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ. And so people were beginning, they started off great, and then they started doing this because they were letting people speak into their life that were pulling them backwards. So you need to be careful who you let speak and preach into your life. You need to make sure it's biblical. Biblical, okay? Biblical, all right? And it talks about another gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but he says there are some. There are some people who are troubling you, and that's what we get. And sometimes the people that are troubling us can be our aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, or be a friend that you really look up to. They can cause some stumbling blocks in front of us in this whole concept of what the gospel is really all about. You see, there's really only one gospel. It's not complicated, but we overcomplicate it. You can complicate it by trying to get into God's mind on why he did it. It's simple. It's usually simple. He just loves people. He loves people. Okay? Even if you don't love yourself, I want to tell you, God's word says he loves people. You can't take that away. You say, I don't think so. Well, I can maybe even say, well, maybe God doesn't love you, but the God's word says that he loves you. So God's word is stronger than what you feel and what I feel. And so we see this part here that some people are struggling with it because here it is. There's only one gospel. It's not the gospel of good deeds. Some people believe that you add good deeds to the gospel of your salvation. No, that's a product. That's an outcome. We should be doing good deeds, but it's an outcome of a Christian walk. Amen? It's the outcome of a life, a person who has the gospel and has salvation. That's the outcome. That's not the input. Okay? That's not part of the salvation piece in the beginning. It's not. But it's also not the gospel of prosperity. I'm not giving to get, because I can never give enough to get something from God. Yeah? But they're teaching that. They're teaching and preaching that you ought to be giving something to get something back. Listen, if we had to do that, then where would God's grace really be? Come on now. We're in a Baptist church here, right? Because it all stands upon the salvation of Jesus Christ. People are preaching prosperity messages, and they have some of the biggest churches in the United States or in the world, and they have some of the biggest bank accounts in the world, but it doesn't matter if salvation is not there. And I know there are some people that have salvation in there. Yes, even churches where you don't think God has people there. But I want to remind you, preaching the gospel is not the gospel of prosperity. It's not. It's not the gospel. It's not Jesus plus prosperity. No. Does God bless with prosperity at times? Yes. That's an afterflow of many times of being a believer in Christ. But also we find out that it's not the gospel of money. Jesus plus money. No, that's not salvation. It's not because I need to give more. I need to keep giving so that your sins, my brother's sins can be taken away or my sister's sins can be taken away. I'm going to keep on giving. Have I written enough? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have I written enough to take away my family's sins? And you that grew up in that know that that is taught. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. It's not the gospel of politics. It's not the gospel of politics. Let's not believe that we stand our gospel is not the gospel. Listen, there are people who worship. They really were. They don't have to say it, but they worship politics. They worship kings, queens, and presidents. People worship other people. You may not think so, but they do. People do. People do. As much crying that goes on after a loss of a politician losing the race, and then they want to go, there's no weeping at the church. There's a problem there. There's a problem there. You put all your stuff. But it is not the gospel of politics. It's also not the gospel of good helps. That's a big one for people. That's an obstacle. Now that because I want Jesus, but also I have to do not just good works, but good helps. I'm going to be, the helps is the things that nobody sees. I can do works in front of people, but when I want to do good helps, no one sees that. So I've got to do this, and everything's got to be in front. People complicate this whole thing of the gospel, and it's not the gospel of Jesus in the church. Listen, the church is a great place. It is something that Jesus designed. It is something that God had put together, but it is you don't get to heaven by your church and by your church membership. Amen? All right, so every church has flaws in it. This one has flaws in it, too. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're looking. You need to wait until you're dead. You need to go to the church, and that church is when the bride comes into heaven, and then everything will be perfect. But I want to remind you, if you can't love the church down here, I'm going to say, how are you going to love up there? Because Jesus loves us with our mess. How do you feel like you can't love the church with its mess? But you can only love up. No. So you need to be careful. Allow some grace in your own life on the church itself. Because we're full, again, sinners. We're full of sinners trying to figure out how to worship a holy God who's perfect. And the Bible gives us all this instruction. So we just let's not add to it. Because sometimes it's pretty tough sometimes. So let's not add to it. Let's not add good helps to it. That's a product of after becoming a believer and you're doing it and you're not doing it for, let's see what I'm doing. No, you're doing it because the Lord has called you to do it. And that comes from the outflow of having the Holy Spirit. But also it's not the gospel of peace and love. No, it's not the gospel of Jesus and then peace and love. No. Did God love the world? Yes, He loved the world so much that He gave Jesus. Yes. But when we put peace up here and we put love up here, anything we put above Jesus, we're trying to put Jesus underneath it because we're saying Jesus plus. No. Peace is great. The Bible says to pray for peace. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are great. Those are great things. But there's only one gospel. Okay? There's only one gospel. So it's not the gospel what you think or what I think. We all got our own ideas. We all got our own thoughts. But I want to tell you, if you add anything else to the gospel, then you're adding stuff that don't need to be there. You're adding stumbling blocks to people. You don't get to make up the way the gospel goes. I don't get to make up the way the gospel goes. So it's not a gospel of what we think or what you think. It's not the gospel of just celebrity life either. The gospel of some actors and celebrities where we listen to what they think and then we follow in that and we have our Jesus. No. It's not that either. It's not that at all. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that's it. That's it. That's it. But it's so hard to get over that. It's so hard for some of us to get over that. Some people will say it's Jesus. And then some people will say, some of the main ones I hear is Jesus and good works. Yes, it's Jesus and good works. Yes, no. It's Jesus. That's it. And some people will say, Jesus plus the baptism. Jesus plus the baptism. No. Then we would say, turn around and say, oh, Jesus plus the baptism, so the people that don't have the baptism are not saved. You can't have it both ways now. You can't have it both ways. If you want to say Jesus and baptism, then everybody else that has Jesus has not been baptized. because they have salvation 1 week, and because of their church, there's churches and pastors I know that don't baptize until like 6 months later because they're in a building, they can't baptize, and they go to a park, they go to a lake, they go to a big oak. There's a friend of mine had one, and they do it once a summer. And you're like a bunch of them all one summer at a big old park where there's a lake, and they allow them to do it there because they're inner city and there's no water. He has the buildings, his church is outside, and they do that. And you want to tell me, wait a minute, you can't change it. If you're saying it's salvation, Jesus plus baptism, well, then all those people that came to Christ 5 months later and then something happens to them or whatever, Jesus comes, however it is, they didn't get their baptism, then they're not saved. You can't have it both ways. It's Jesus only, not Jesus and baptism. Baptism comes after you have the salvation piece. Some people do it immediately, as we see in the scriptures with Philip and the eunuch. It can be immediately. It can be a couple of weeks later. It can be a few months later. It's okay. It is an outward experience. It is a spiritual experience. It is all doing it. You're with the Lord, being baptized, as we saw this morning. If something would happen to someone because 1 week they're saved and they got in a car wreck and died, and the next week they didn't. Oh my gosh. For the people that were saying, oh, it's salvation and baptism. That's horrible. That's just not good. And why is it not good? Because the scripture says it's not good. We don't add to it. We don't add to that. We've added so much stuff. We've added so much stumbling blocks to people, and people get confused, and people that are seeking to hear the gospel get confused. They say, well, over here, I'm hearing baptism, but if I don't, or salvation, if I don't really get baptized, I'm really not saved. Or if I'm over here and I'm a two-year-old over here that doesn't get dedicated to the Lord at this age, is all they're doomed, or doesn't get confirmed, and I'm telling you, we just bombarded everything and just made this big pile of hill that just was stuff that puts it right there with salvation. No, salvation is very simple. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Christ alone. That's it. So we in agreement with that today? Does the Bible say that today? All right, we're gonna continue to look with that. So we're looking at that. That is a place to be. So it is not those things that we talked about. Okay, it is not those things that is talked about. But what does it say? It says in verse 8, but even if we are an angel from heaven, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. This is how bad it is. Don't add anything to the gospel. Don't change it. He says, if I did it or an angel did it, a curse be on him. That's how big. We don't add anything to the gospel. But what is the gospel? What was it pressing? I want you to turn really quick over to Galatians chapter 3. They were continually trying to put in this law and these things that you have to do. Laws and going back to the circumcision and all those things. And we're going to come back to chapter 1, but I want to pick this up before I forget. In chapter 3, it says this, the law, okay? The law, okay? We're back to the law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Because Jesus came, That law is all now is set aside. It is set aside because the faith came, and that faith is in Jesus Christ. For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, now because of through faith, not by the law, but through faith, we are all sons of God. If it's Jesus only, okay? It's sons of God in Christ, okay? In Christ Jesus. But also it says in verse 6, and because you are sons of God, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, right? And we also have the Holy Spirit, right? So we have the Holy Spirit, and He cries out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, right? So now we're no longer a slave to sin, but we're a slave, right? We're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. And if we're an heir of the throne, we're heir of the kingdom, we are heir of the family of God, then we need to act like one. You notice, you look on the tabloids, you see on the news, you're always seeing princess this, prince that. You're seeing all these people from England because they have all these royal titles. And boy, is there a lot of drama on some of them, right? You know why there's a lot of drama? Because the king, the queen, I should say, the queen, the kingdom of England is saying, y'all ain't acting right. They're not acting according to the title that they have. And a lot of them in rebellion all the time. That's why we see the tabloids. It's big news. People like to read all that stuff. And we also need to remember that we are representing here on the earth. We're supposed to represent. We are heirs. We are heirs to the kingdom. We're heirs, part of that, part of it. We need to act like that. Okay? But then he goes on here back into chapter 1, verse 10. He says, for am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. When you are not serving for Christ and you end up doing something else, you end up serving yourself and your own personal needs and what your own desires are going on in your mind. You may not think so, but your flesh will rise up and you'll do it for yourself or do it for a peace that benefits you and you'll put yourself at the top. You may not think so, but that's what you will. Paul is saying, listen, I am not trying to persuade or change God. I'm not doing that. I'm not striving. He says, am I striving to please people? Because we know what he did before. He was trying to please God, but he thought he was pleasing God, but he wasn't pleasing God. He was running out there trying to please he was a zealot and all those things for the law and out there persecuting Christians. But then he had this salvation experience with God and with Christ. And his whole life changed. And that's the difference. Salvation, your life will change. And it will take time for some. Sometimes more than others, but there will be changes in your life. But he says, if I were still trying to please people, if I were still trying to do my thing, I would not be a servant of God. He says, I would not be a servant of God. Let me ask you this. They knew that Paul's life had changed. They were the Christians, when he first became a Christian, they were scared of him because they thought he might be trying to pull one over on them. I'm going to act like I'm one of them. Then I'm going to give them all up and we're going to get them all in a big old net. We're going to get them all. But they begin to see something. His life has changed. They begin to see the changes in his life. And I want to ask you, can people tell at least three things in your life that has changed since you became a believer? Is there what three things in your life would somebody say, that is a believer, that is a believer, that person, that family, that person is a believer? What three things, real quick, in your mind, what are you thinking? What three things could people tell and testify saying you are a believer in Jesus Christ? And if you can't figure it out, I'm telling you, you better step back and you better start thinking about, do you have salvation? Because there is a change. Jesus didn't come in and just save people. He comes in and saves people and changes people. Salvation changes people. Amen? Salvation changes people. It's changed my life. I pray, I know that if you are a believer, it's changed your life. And if you've not let it change, you are in bitter internal turmoil because you know your life is not living and you're not living that life the way Christ wants you to live. You're doing your own thing. So the Holy Spirit continues to pound upon you until you get your life right with Him. And so we see that Paul says, I wouldn't be doing this, but I'm called to Christ. He says this, for I want you to know. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. Paul has a changed life. He was just out there. He knew the law, but he was out there before. He was chastising, persecuting Christians, and now he's teaching. He's teaching the things of God. He's loving people. Before, he wasn't loving people. He thought he was a warrior for God and going out and destroying lives anybody that was not lining up. He was right after them, having them arrested. People were killed, all that. And now he is living his life for Christ. Christ has changed it, moved it. You can see all the changes in his life. Actually, his changed life is actually in the Bible all over the place. And here we find out, he says, listen, all this stuff that I'm doing, this gospel that I'm preaching, he says, is that the gospel preached by me, he says, I'm preaching a gospel, and it's not from me, it is from the Lord. It is from the Lord. Listen, I can tell you, he says this, I did not receive it from human sources, and I was not taught it. But it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ, called to it. The Holy Spirit prompted him to it. He didn't realize and didn't understand it until he was on that road to Damascus when he had that salvation experience. And the Holy Spirit begins to work, and God was working in his life years later. He's doing all this preaching and teaching and all these things. And I want to tell you that same story is in, it is in place today. Listen, it is in place today. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jeremy would not be where he is today. Without the gospel, he would not be, he would be out doing his thing in jail. Whatever it is, he would be in a bad spot in life. The gospel saved the soul, saved the life, changed the life. Same thing with Phil Marlowe. He would not be doing and preaching what he's preaching. And it only comes from the calling of the Holy Spirit, preaching, studying, and preaching. And up here, you can have plans and you can have words that the Holy Spirit speaks through you and begins to share words that he's even hidden from the preacher himself to come out to remind the preacher that it's not his words, but it is the Holy Spirit's words. Same thing with Phil Fisher. He's not wanting to go out and start a church because he wants to. The Lord put it upon his heart and said, this is what you're called to do. This is where you're going. I want you to share the gospel in another place and pushes and those and doing all those things like that. I want to tell you, Brian is doing youth and this is maybe not be his wheelhouse, but maybe God's, I don't know what it is, but listen, he is a man who has the spiritual gift to serve it. And he is serving where God has called him to serve, and it is not because he wants to do that in a sense. And now he may want to, but it's because the Holy Spirit is inside of him. He got the Holy Spirit when the day he got saved. And that salvation is continuing to make a change in his life. Not just the salvation, but it continues to change his life day in and day out and day in and day out. And begin to work with young people who are saying, who is this guy? All stiff, all quiet, held back. Now they get to know him. They begin to trust him, sees different in others, those changes, and they begin to trust him and share stories with him and confide in him, and he gets to pray for them. And we can go all the way around this room. We can talk about many people doing things that are out there doing things, not because they wanted to, not because they felt like they needed to, because the Holy Spirit at salvation begin to change a person's life at salvation and begin to make changes and mold them and begin to turn them into something new and for the purposes of God, not for selfish purposes. And this is why the world struggles. It says, live your life for the world. But you say, no, I live my life to the world. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed by the Son of God. I stand now living my life that once I lived on my own. Now I live for God and the Savior. I live for Him and my life is His. It's no longer mine. It's His. And I want to tell you, He does a much better job with my life than I did on my own. And He's doing a much better life with you than you ever could do on your own. Isn't He good? And it's all because of God's grace. And because God says, I love the world. I love people so much. And you know, in Genesis chapter 6, and God looked over the world. He says, I am grieved that I made man. What a sad moment. We get to see the heart of God for a moment. He says, I am grieved that I have made man, for all his thoughts are wicked and evil. Wow. And a whole world of people, he finds this one guy. Didn't that tell you like, how much God loves us, even just individually? And God does it a whole new thing. And it wasn't long. We were back at war and killing each other and doing sinful things. But God had a plan. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to shake the universe's foundation, send my son. See, that's how bad sin is. God says, I'm going to send my son and the world's going to get him and the world's not going to love him. The world's going to beat him. They're going to nail him to some wood. And they're going to crucify him until he dies. Think about that for a minute. All that Jesus endured, those 39 lashes at the whipping post, I'm telling you what, that gets me more than anything. That gets me, actually sometimes that gets me even more than the cross, because the whipping post is just, I mean, it's a literally beat down. All that Jesus went through. Do you think now we might know why God would say it's not Jesus plus good works? It's Jesus plus a baptism. It's Jesus plus church membership. Jesus plus prosperity. Jesus plus these things. No. No. He gave his all, and there's only one way for the gospel is to reach and grab it all. And when you grab it all, it's just Jesus. Because that's why Paul says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ. And turning to a different gospel. There is no other gospel, amen? It is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. It is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But here's a couple things for you. What can you do for yourself? How can you get yourself solid and not be swayed by all these things that people are throwing out? Start reading your Bible again, amen? Come on now, start reading your Bible again. It's got some great stuff. It's all good, right? Start reading your Bible again. It's the bread of life. It is the bread. It is the food that we take in. It's spiritual food. Get into a life group. We have life groups on Sunday morning. Get into a life group. You'll love the fellowship as well, but just get into a life group. Study it with some other people, because other people have some. God speaks through other people too. You know, God doesn't just speak through you. He speaks to everybody that are believers. Amen? And then he also says this, attend on Wednesday night service. Get back into the way you used to be. Yeah, I used to go to Sunday morning. I used to go Sunday night. And I hit Wednesday night. And now we look at it, it's like, I hit one, I'm good. No, no, you're not. You'd be the most apt person to follow something else, because you're not ingrained in the Spirit. You're not ingrained in the Word. Read that Word. Get involved. Be a part of what's going on. And God is doing things. Get involved in it. All these things will help you grow in your biblical knowledge. It'll help you grow in your spiritual growth. It'll help you even in your faith. It'll help you in your commitment and even in your fellowship. Some of you need to learn how to fellowship again. You haven't fellowshipped in a while. You need to learn how to fellowship in a while again. And so it is. Simply, it is this. Let's go ahead and stand. But I want to just share one last piece with you. It is simply this. How does someone come to Christ? How does someone receive the gospel? It is Romans 10. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved.